Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine in for Kathleen Dunn. Happy to have you along on this Monday, December the 24th, Christmas Eve. And we will talk on this Christmas Eve about giving, but giving in a different way. We're not talking about going to the mall and buying the latest electronic gadget. We're talking about alternative gift-giving ideas that will support people, the planet, and combat world hunger. 1-800-642-1234, our toll-free number if you'd like to join in our conversation. We're going to be talking with two different guests during this hour who are involved in some very worthy and charitable causes that we think you'll be interested in. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Let me welcome first Chris Talbot, or is it Talbot?
Talbot,
okay. He is with Heifer International. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, and I'm sorry to be a little bit unprepared for this hour. Originally, a different fill-in host was going to be talking with you, but he came down with the flu. We still wanted to do the program, but albeit with an unprepared host here. Tell us about Heifer International. What exactly is this charity?
Well, Heifer International has been working for over 60 years to end hunger and poverty all over the world. They've worked in over 125 countries at this point, and they've helped 45 million people on the path towards self-reliance. And the way that it works is Heifer gives livestock and training to poor and hungry families, to communities, that gives them milk, wool, eggs, that they can, you know, eat, obviously, or sell for income so they can help their families out by sending them to school or building better housing or being able to afford medicine. And then the real trick is, or the best thing about Heifer is that these gifts multiply. Every family that receives an animal, maybe it's a goat, agrees to pass on the offspring of that animal to another member of their community. Mm. And then they pass it on, and they pass it on, and soon entire communities are lifted up. So that's the idea in a nutshell.
Where did this idea come from?
Well, you know, Heifer was founded by a man named Dan West. He was doing relief during the Spanish Civil War in the 30s, handing out powdered milk every day to people on both sides of the conflict. And each day, the same people would come back with their cup, and he'd refill their milk, and he just thought there's no dignity to this. They have to come sort of begging day after day. And he had this kind of brainstorm. He said, not a cup, but a cow. Mm. And he was a farmer, so this kind of idea kind of came naturally to him. And he went home and organized the church that he worked with to sort of put this idea together. And the first shipment of cows went out in 1944 to Puerto Rico. And then soon after that, they actually started working in Europe, helping kind of war-ravaged Europe get back on its feet after World War II. From there, it spread to Korea, Japan, and then, like I said, 125 countries total since.
Yeah, and are there specific parts of the world that you are focusing on right now?
Really, Heifer works everywhere, including the United States. They're in Africa, they're in Southeast Asia, they're in China, they're in Central America, South America, so they are everywhere.
Yeah. And what does someone do? I mean, are you actually buying a cow for a community if you're contributing to Heifer?
Yeah, you are. The way it works is, you know, you give to Heifer, and then Heifer sort of, you know, your gift along with everybody else's gift goes towards this cow or goat or llama or camel, whatever is appropriate to the region we're working in. And with that comes training. Nobody receives an animal without getting probably about a year, at least, of training. We work with whole communities. We don't work with just one family. So, you know, we go in advance, and we teach the people who want to be involved about sustainable agriculture and how to best use their land so they don't do any damage to their land, and they build the proper housing for the animal, and they learn basic veterinary care. And they sort of map out a community plan together. They make like a five-year plan that says, you know, in 5 years we want to see our community at this place. You know, we want to have fresh water or better housing or maybe a farmer's market, or we want to have donkeys that allow us to get to that nearby village that actually has a market. They're very invested in the process themselves. And it goes from there. So a year in advance of training, then they get the animals, and then Heifer sort of monitors the process to make sure the animals get passed on to other families. It's a 3 to 5 year process. It's very much about sustainable development, you know, having an impact that lasts versus dropping off food that's gone the next day, you know.
What sorts of measurable impacts have you had with Heifer International? What can you point to say, hey, if it wasn't for Heifer, this wouldn't have happened?
Well, 45 million people have been helped since 1944. Mm-hmm. And last year, we assisted 140,000 families. So there's very trackable results. Heifer is widely admired out in the field as one of the organizations that's really doing it right. There are a lot of groups out there that are well-intentioned, but maybe their model's just not as sound. This is something that really works. You're putting something in the hands of people who desperately want to help themselves, and you're giving them the tools to sort of do it themselves. It's like teach a man to fish versus give a man a fish, you know? You're empowering these families to become self-reliant.
We're talking about Heifer International during this portion of the program. Our guest is Chris Talbot with Heifer International. We welcome your thoughts and questions for him about what Heifer International does. Have you ever donated to Heifer International? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or talk at wpr.org. Coming up in just a bit, we will be welcoming in someone from Sustainable Harvest International as we talk this hour about alternative gift ideas to help support people, the planet, and combat world hunger. Let's take a few calls for our guest, Charlene in Franksville. Hi, Charlene. You're on the air.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
I didn't know you were going to be talking about Heifer. I was thinking about the alternatives. What I've been doing for a number of years now, year-round, is when there is an anniversary or a birth or even a death, and anything requests no presents, or even if they do, I have been donating to whatever I would have spent for that purchase, donate to either a charity of their choice, or if they don't have one, to my pet, Food for the Poor, and the Women's Abuse Center in Waukesha.
Well, I think that's a great idea.
That's great.
And then what I do is I send a nice card to the individual and explain what I've done. And in the case of charities that they have, I request from the charity an acknowledgement to the individual.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's a great thing to do. I mean, people have so much stuff, and people are tired of getting stuff, and I think that alternative giving is really, it's a great thing to do, and it's sort of, I would say it's almost a trend. People are doing it more and more, and you hear about it more, and, you know, it's great.
Well, I first heard, in fact, about Heifer International some years ago when we did a program on alternative gift giving or things to do that would help the world rather than just end up in a closet. And more and more people are doing that these days, aren't they, Chris?
Yeah, that's right. In fact, I didn't really get to that, the alternative giving part. I mean, the way Heifer works is, you know, we raise almost all of our money through small donations from thousands of Americans who care about these issues, and you can get online at heifer.org and go to their gift catalog, and you can buy a cow or a goat or bees or a flock of chicks or trees, something in the agricultural realm that will help a needy family, and then you can give that gift in honor of a loved one, a friend, you know, or family or colleague, and you can get a card from Heifer. It's a really beautiful kind of fold-out card, sits on a mantle. And it tells the story of what that pig or what that goat is going to do for a needy family. So, you know, you buy a cow for grandma or mom, and on Christmas Day, she opens up her card expecting the average sort of gift, and instead she finds out a cow was donated in her name, you know, to a poor woman in Uganda. And it's amazing. People love this gift. It creates a lot of talk, and people talk about it. Excuse me. So that's sort of how you can give to Heifer, or one of the ways, especially now during the holiday season.
Well, and you can even do that as a last-minute thing on Christmas Eve on the website, can't you?
Yes, you can. We strongly encourage that. You can, yeah, you can actually print. Heifer has these cards that I just described online as well, so it does make a great last-minute gift. You can get online and give a gift and print out your card right on the spot.
Can you, I don't know, compare this year to recent years? Is charitable giving, at least as far as Heifer International concerned, alive and well?
Yeah, Heifer's been growing at 20% a year for over 10 years, so I would say that the trend of alternative giving is increasing. This year's numbers are not in yet. We're still, you know, counting and still receiving gifts, but it's. I know that in 1995, Heifer was raising about $8 million a year. In the year 2000, it was about $20 million. At the moment, Heifer is raising over $100 million a year. Just been growing astronomically because people really care about these issues. Americans are becoming more connected to the world, and they are seeing that there are solutions. It used to be, you know, in the 80s, you would see those images of starving children in Ethiopia, and I think it looked hopeless. It looked like this kind of black hole of hunger that was never going to end. What Heifer has sort of done, in my opinion, is showed people, like, look, there are very simple solutions. You can make a difference. Your little gift of $20, $120 can actually help a family get on its feet. There are solutions. We can end hunger. So I think that sort of hopeful message, that optimistic message is reaching people, and people, when they see that they can make a difference, they want to.
Let me take another caller, Sue in Iowa. Hi, Sue, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Iola.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I have Iowa down here.
Everyone says that. Yes, good morning. My husband and I usually do not exchange any gifts for Christmas. What we do is we pick a charity or some, you know, something we think could be a good cause. And this year we chose the Smile Train, which is the repair of cleft lip and palate in the third world.
Good organization.
Yeah, and our anniversary is December 21st, and we don't exchange gifts then either, because we've always said if we absolutely needed it, we'd have it. And, you know, why buy something useless, like you say, that you stick in a drawer and never use again? So this is what we've done, and we just feel really good about that. And I try and encourage as many of my coworkers and family members to do this also.
Yeah, do you pick a different organization every year, Sue?
Generally, we do. And I just wrote down heifer.org for next year.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
All right. And happy anniversary, Sue, in Iola. Good to hear from you. Chris in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Hi, you're on the air. This caller is from Iowa. Chris, are you there? Chris isn't there, though. That's too bad.
Oh.
Jody in Chicago, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, Jody, go ahead.
Hi. Well, nice to hear your voice, Joy.
Well, nice to hear yours, too, Jody.
Thank you for substituting. One quick comment. I had actually called about the Christmas gift idea, but just on a side note, when you introduced your guest, I've heard of Heifer International several years ago, and I had an interesting experience. My workplace, if you donate money to a certain charity, they will match your contributions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, matching
and
gifts.
So,
uh-huh.
Right. So several, this didn't have to do with Christmas, but several years ago, I did this whole little educational thing at my workplace about Heifer International and explained to them what it was so that they would match the contributions anyway. So
That. That's great.
Yeah.
So
I had
smart.
To sort of I had to explain your organization to them, and you know that they all thought it was great. But anyway, the reason I called was the Christmas idea you had. This year I decided to give my entire family I always use reusable grocery bags. The cloth kind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like all the paper bags and plastic bags and all of that. And I've been doing that for years. So this year I went on a website, and it's actually escaping me right now which one it was, but there are multiple ones, and got the whole family like three or four different bags so they can just keep them in their car and not have to just accumulate all those bags.
So reusable grocery bags are your gift to your family this year.
Yeah, I thought I would introduce them all to that concept.
I like that
good
idea.
For you.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You could give them as the gift bag, too.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Any more comment on that, Chris?
No, it's a great idea, though. I mean, Heifer supports, you know, all sustainable efforts. Heifer's mission is to help the poor and hungry while caring for the earth, and that last part is very important. Doesn't make any sense to give a family a goat if the goat's actually going to maybe damage the land they live on. So we teach everyone sustainable practices, you know, how to use the goat in a sustainable way and not hurt that little bit of land they have, in fact, to improve it. So Heifer's very into the sustainable development and the environmental causes. It's very much a part of its mission.
Our guest is Chris Talbot. He is with Heifer International. You can check out the website, heifer.org. We're talking about alternative gift giving, gifts that can help support people, the planet, and combat world hunger. Gifts from Heifer International do that, our guest says. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. If you have a question about Heifer International or have a thought about an alternative gift idea, we'll kick that around as well. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, in for Kathleen Dunn today. Coming up after 11 o'clock, Cheryl Gasser is coming in to fill in for Larry Mueller. Larry was going to be here today, but he's sick. Poor Larry, we hope you feel better. Santa Claus will be joining Cheryl Gasser after 11 o'clock. It's his annual appearance on Larry's program. Every year, Santa and one of his elves come in, and kids are invited to call in to talk with jolly old Saint Nick from 11 until 12:30 today. So that's still going on, even though Larry is under the weather. Cheryl Gasser coming in. So we hope you join in after 11. We're talking about alternative gift giving with Chris Talbot, who is with Heifer International, and Karen in Salem Township is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. I have to chuckle because just as your program was starting, my husband just got off the internet after ordering a goat in our grandchildren's name this year for Christmas.
Oh, that's great.
That's great.
And we try to keep Christmas low-key and not too materialistic either. What we've been trying to do the last few years and also for birthdays and such is shop at more fair trade stores that we can find or fair places on the internet. In fact, I'm going to plug my friend Pam Ellis in Lake Geneva. She has a really great store called Global Hands, and we bought the kids' Christmas gifts. There's handmade toys, there's chocolates, there's musical instruments. They even sell clothes and jewelry, and then we're going to include little tidbits of history about, you know, where they were made and for what reason. So we're hoping our grandkids and our children and their spouses get the message too. So
that's really wonderful. I think that's great that you're doing that for your grandson. Kids really do. Kids can. I mean, Heifer has found that kids love. They do care about these issues and they do want to help and they love knowing that there is something practical they can do and they can really grasp. In Heifer's case, they can grasp the animal idea. It's very concrete, and we found they really do respond to it. And that's great that you're opening their mind up at such a young age to the world, basically.
Happy holidays, Karen. Thanks for calling Angie and Nina. Hi, Angie.
Hi. My call almost dovetails nicely with the last caller. Mm-hmm. I was a long-term substitute teacher at Wilson Middle School in Appleton last year, and one of the projects that they do is they challenge each homeroom to donate to Heifer Project.
Oh, really?
And so they look through the catalog, and they determine which animal they want to try to achieve. And then it's like a math project, too. Then they have to graph it on the wall. And then we have this huge corral downstairs near the world languages kind of area. And as they make their goal, then that animal gets put into the little corral. So it almost looks like we had an ark last year. It was very cool.
Oh, how cool.
Amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, like the school was, I think for the last 3 years, a school of promise. So it's like the quote-unquote inner-city school. We've got so many kids there that were, you know, at or below the poverty line and receiving free and reduced rate lunches. So they were just giving, you know, what pocket change they could find. And to see how the collaboration could actually achieve something like that, I think was powerful for them.
Very
that
neat.
Is very powerful. I saw a schoolroom in the Bronx that reminds me of your story. Some of these kids were, came from very poor families or borderline families, and yet they were so excited about helping others. It was very powerful and very moving.
Yeah.
And I think empowering for them to feel like, look, I can make a difference in the world.
Yeah, thanks very much, Angie. So you know that this project is catching on in schools too, huh?
Yeah, it is. Like I said, we found that kids really grasp this and get it, and they can just jump on board. And the animal thing, again, I think makes it very real to them and concrete and understandable.
Mm-hmm. Ken in Eau Claire. Hi, Ken.
Hi, good morning, Joy. Good morning to your guests, and happy holidays to both of you.
You too.
I would just to echo what I've been hearing, I'm also a longtime high school teacher in Eau Claire, and our students have been involved in some heifer projects where they actually go to Arkansas, and I believe they actually did some work there a couple summers ago. Does that sound familiar?
Well, there's a learning ranch outside of Heifer's headquarters in Little Rock, Arkansas, so I bet you they went there and probably did some learning about how heifer works.
They did, and it was very, I think they came back with a little different view of what goes on in the world. We're a fairly affluent community, and for this Christmas, for our two sons and our godson, we always, after a while, think, what can you get these guys that they seem to have all kinds of material things, and so they got chickens this year. I'm not sure how good that's going to go over when they go tell their best friends that they got some chickens, but we're hoping they can expand it and maybe spread the word a little bit. But I would definitely say the booklet that you get with, that comes with when you buy, when you donate money, we gave them those so they can take and show it to other people. And I think truly what Christmas is supposed to be about. So I really commend your efforts at Heifer.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's great what you're doing for your kids. I think their friends will be interested. It's going to be different.
Well, I am just impressed. Our lines have been packed with people who love heifer or have donated or are involved in some way. Rich in Boscobel, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Very good.
Two quick questions. The most important one is, are there any local volunteer opportunities to help with Heifer International?
Where are you based? Where are you living?
Southwest Wisconsin.
Well, you know, I don't know of something, unfortunately. But if you look at heifer.org, there is a you can find a section for volunteer opportunities, and there might be something that I just don't know about. I'm based on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Rich. And finally, Judy in Big Bend. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I work in a Catholic parish in Muskego, Wisconsin, and for the last few years, our junior high students in the religion program have been supporting Heifer International.
Wow.
And we get such enthusiasm from them that we made a decision last week to bring it to the whole parish so that our focus Lenten project for this upcoming Lent will be Heifer International. So we're going to do it with our grade school children, our religious education children, and hopefully with a little more communication in the parish, we'll open it to even more groups.
That is great. Thank you so much. This is very exciting to find out how many people know about us and know about Heifer's work. And, well, thank you for that support.
Sure.
Well, thank you very much, Judy. And as we let you go, Chris Talbot, I guess, what's your message for Christmas 2007?
Well, thanks to everyone in that's been listening, that's been supporting Heifer. It's really great to find out how much support we're getting there. And if you're looking for a last-minute gift, go to heifer.org and buy a goat.
Yeah, you won't duplicate that. You know?
No, yeah, it won't be regifted.
Yeah, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Joy.
Chris Talbot with Heifer International, heifer.org, talking with us about alternative gift ideas during this holiday season, and giving a goat is one of those, or a heifer. We will talk to a guest from a different organization, maybe with some of the same goals, and we'll continue to take your calls on whether or not, do you do this? Do you make a donation to some sort of charity? Do you have alternative gift ideas, not just buying some stuff, but buying something that helps support the planet or combat world hunger or support the world? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our next guest is Florence Reed, founder and president of Sustainable Harvest International. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what exactly is Sustainable Harvest International?
Well, it's hard to sum it up briefly, but I will try to do so. Basically, what our organization does is we hire local field trainers in the countries where we work. Currently, those are all countries in Central America. And those field trainers work with a group of usually about 50 families for a period of about 5 years, and provide regular hands-on technical assistance and training to those families to teach them how they can produce more on their land and raise their standard of living without having to cut down more of the tropical forest.
Okay. And how did this come about, this particular organization?
Well, I learned about the issues of deforestation and poverty as a college student back in the late 80s. And right after college, I went into the Peace Corps, and I served as a Peace Corps volunteer in Panama for 2 years and lived in a rural village there and really saw firsthand how the traditional forms of agriculture were contributing not only to deforestation of the world's rainforests, but also increasing the poverty of the people who were carrying out the deforestation. And so that really prompted me to want to try to do something to turn that around and offer alternatives to these farmers who are looking for a different way to farm that would provide better for their families while also protecting the environment. And when I saw that there was no other organization that was providing that type of assistance, I decided that I was going to have to try my best to start such an organization. And so I did that about 10 years ago.
And what sorts of impacts have you had?
Well, we've had just amazing impacts, I think, given that we started with nothing, really, 10 years ago. It was just me working out of a spare bedroom at my parents' house, and a couple of guys in Honduras that were the mm-hmm. first field trainers that worked with me and worked with the families in Honduras. And then over the past 10 years, we've grown now to the point where we are working with over 1,000 families. And those families have planted over 2 million trees over the past 10 years. And they've also converted thousands of acres of formerly degraded land to different sustainable uses, such as organic gardens and sustainable agriculture, and reforestation and agroforestry, planting trees together with other crops. Yeah. And we figure that each one of those acres that they now farm sustainably represents at least 5 acres that won't be destroyed through slash and burn farming. So these families working with us have also saved tens of thousands of acres of tropical forest by using these techniques that we teach them. And at the same time, they've been improving their lives. They now are eating better. They have better nutrition, more to eat, and they have better income. Families have seen their income go from $500 a year to $5,000 a year or more, so that now they can meet all of their basic needs, send their children to school, get the health care that they need, those types of things. So I think the impact has been tremendous for the families that have worked with us and the communities where we work. The difficult part is there are so many more families that are waiting to work with us, and we just don't have the resources to reach all of them.
Yeah, and that's you accept donations for to hire these local field trainers?
Exactly. It's relatively inexpensive for development work to keep one of our field trainers working with around 50 families for a year. It costs us about $13,000 a year. And that's for to pay the salary and the transportation for that person and the materials they use, such as the seeds that they give the families and those types of things. And it works out to about $300 per community per year or, $3,000 per community per year and $300 per family per year, which is really, I think, quite small to when you consider that it's turning around the lives of these families and also the environmental situation that affects all of us.
Yeah, it's helping the families and it's saving the rainforests.
Yes.
Yeah. And these trainers are telling these families here different techniques like whatever, crop rotation or things like that that would help, would stop them from just chopping down more of the rainforest.
Exactly. They teach them how to build up their soils and treat their farm more like an ecosystem through things such as crop rotation and compost and mulch and integrated pest management, natural pesticides that they can make from local plants, that type of thing. So it's a variety of techniques that when you put them all together improves the productivity of the land so the families are growing double the amount of corn that they used to grow, 4 times the amount of rice that they used to grow, a variety of other new crops, and doing it all on the same piece of land year after year without having to cut down more forest each year as they previously had to when they were degrading the land more each year with their old farming techniques.
Yeah. Well, what's been your experience in terms of how your organization has grown or at least been able to help others over the years? Is this something that is growing for you in terms of the number of people donating to this cause?
It definitely is. In the first year that I started the organization 10 years ago, I think there were about 20 people who were donating. Mm-hmm. And now 10 years later, we have about 2,000 people who are actively supporting our work. And mm-hmm. so it's still relatively small compared to some of the bigger organizations out there. But compared to where we started 10 years ago, I'm very pleased with how much we've been able to grow as far as the amount of support that we get, and of course, more importantly, what that means is that we have been able to increase the number of families we work with dramatically, and increase the amount of support that we give to those families.
It's got to make you feel good too, Florence Reed, in that you're proof that one person can make a real big difference. I mean, I know it's not just you, but it was you who came up with this idea.
Yes, I feel lucky. Yeah. I feel that I just sort of fell into this. There was. A niche that wasn't being filled, and my life experiences conspired to put me in a good position to start this organization. And I've had the good fortune of bringing people on to work with me, both in Central America and here in the U.S., both board of directors and staff, and our supporters who have all contributed, as well as the families that work with us, of course, to creating what's been a very successful program so far. And as the founder, I get a lot of credit for it, which is a lucky situation for me. But it's really a effort of thousands of people that are making it happen.
Yeah. We're talking with Florence Reed, founder and president of Sustainable Harvest International. And Florence, you have a website if people have more information, want more information?
Yes, Joy. I'd be glad to give that out. Our website is sustainableharvest, all one word, .org. And there's information there about the work that we're doing, about opportunities for going on volunteer trips with us to America, and about opportunities to make donations either directly or in the name of somebody else so that we can send them a card, letting them know that a gift has been made in their honor, and a lot of other information, photos of our work, and everything else as well.
Yeah, we're talking about alternative gift ideas to help support the planet, and in this case, help families and save the rainforest. 1-800-642-1234 if you have any questions about Sustainable Harvest International, or if you want to just talk about the concept of alternative gift ideas like this one. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine, in for Kathleen Dunn, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, coming up after 11 o'clock. Santa Claus is coming to town. He'll be in today with Cheryl Gasser, who will be sitting in for Larry Mueller, coming up after 11 o'clock. We're talking with Florence Reed, founder and president of Sustainable Harvest International, one of perhaps many alternative gift ideas that help support the world that you might consider during this holiday season. Do you have others? Do you have questions about this one? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Before we go to the phones, Florence, I wanted to ask you how you find the families that you work with these agricultural trainers.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Actually, in general, the families find us. Mm-hmm. They have a cousin or somebody that they know who is working with us, and they see what the person they know has been able to do through the technical assistance that they get from our field trainers, and they tell their neighbors, and then we'll have a group from a community that will approach us and ask us if we can come and work in their community. And that's always the hardest part of my work, is when a group will approach me and ask me to send a field trainer to work with them. And at least initially, always having to tell them that we don't have the resources to do that, at least right away. And often I'll go back a few months later, and they'll have a bigger group from the community coming to tell me, no, I didn't understand that they really, really need this kind of assistance, and the children are malnourished, and the soils are washing away, and the water supplies are drying up, and they can't meet the needs of their family. And now can I please send a field trainer to work with them? And I often, again, have to tell them that we will try to do so as soon as we can, but that we don't have the resources right away. And so we do add people to the list, and then if we have a group that's really committed to taking advantage of the type of assistance that we offer, and if they understand that we're not giving them a handout, we're actually giving them more work, as some of them have said, and that that's what they want to do, then as soon as we're able to, we will send a field trainer to work with those new families and those new communities.
Ro in Madison is with us now. Hi, Ro. You're on the air.
Hi. It's great to be on the air.
Yes, thanks for calling.
My idea is really simple compared to all these wonderful endeavors everybody else takes on. I'm from a huge family, and buying gifts just turned into a major headache. So what we started was an auction, and I know some other people do this. Everybody brings something for under $5, a couple things. I have one brother that just lavishes the kids with, you know, not expensive toys, but for a dollar, everybody turns in a dollar. They get $10,000 in fake money. And between dinner and dessert, we have this auction, and it is so much fun. The kids actually hoard their money to buy something for their mom, or I once paid $50,000 for a can of chocolate kisses.
What? How much?
$50,000. Now, remind you that $10,000 equals a dollar. So at the end of the night, we gather all the money and all the money we've made, and we've made a fair amount of money. The kids pick a charity, and they have to. We then donate the money to a charity in the area. But you've given us a lot more ideas to send the money to other places.
Well, that's I think that's a wonderful idea. So you auction off this stuff you have.
Yeah, everything from toilet paper to antique pie tins.
And then you use the money to make a donation to a charity that you all vote on.
Yep, that's what we do. And then one of the kids has to go with to take the money to the charity.
Isn't that a great idea, Florence?
That is wonderful. I really congratulate you on coming up with such a wonderful idea, and I hope that you inspire others to do the same.
Yeah, and who knows, maybe a Sustainable Harvest will be one of those charities sometime. Lois and
that would be even better.
Yeah, Lois in Algoma. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, and congratulations, Florence. And
Thank you.
Is much inspiration in this show. I wanted to just pass on one little tiny thing about what I do with gift giving with my family, which is this coming weekend this year. I found a couple of gift boxes, or as many as I need for each family, and I put cut up used socks, clean, in the boxes and wrap them, anticipating that we won't use paper towels to wipe up spills or dust or any other use that we would have for paper towels. And I'm able to call you this morning and be at the phone because my neighbor, Phil, is snow plowing my driveway with 2 feet of snow in it. So I wanted to pass on all the good giving that goes on.
Well, thank you, Lois. And thanks to Phil, huh? That's pretty nice.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And using socks instead of paper towels is a worthy thing, too. Any comment, Florence?
I think that's wonderful. It's something I see in Central America that has been a lesson to me, is that nothing goes to waste there, and people reuse everything and find new uses for everything. And it bothers me that our society views everything as disposable and doesn't reuse the resources that we do have. And I think that's a wonderful example of one way that we can reuse resources and you know, save the trees from being cut down for paper towels.
Next we go to Gil in Madison. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. I just wanted to add a couple of other possibilities for people to contribute in this way that you're talking about. And also say that this year I did something similar to what your previous caller said the one before this about the auction. This year, instead of sending to some of the ones I'm going to tell you about, we sort of sent a challenge to our family who we're giving gifts to and sent them money and told them to give to a local organization to focus on the local needs. We just send them money and said, you decide.
Oh, good for you. Yeah, good for you.
The other two I wanted to mention, one similar to the sustainable one that your guest has, although this is really just products, not services, and it's run by Winona LaDuke on the White Earth Reservation in Minnesota, and the White Earth Land Recovery Project and Native Harvest Online, and they have a bunch of products, wild rice and maple syrup and jelly and things like that, and crafts, and it supports the sustainable projects that Winona is doing on her reservation in Minnesota, and that you can get to online at nativeharvest.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is Seva, which was founded by Baba Ram Das, who was sort of the old 60s New Age philosopher guy. He used to hang out with Timothy Leary and others. And he founded an organization called Seva that started just with providing operations for eye surgery in Nepal. And it's expanded now to where they have gifts of service you can give for Native American programs, I think for some in Central America as well, that include health projects, but the eye service one is still available.
Well, excellent. And I'm sorry, what was that called, Gil? Seva?
Seva, S-E-V-A, and that's at seva.org.
Great. Thank you so much, and happy holidays, Gil. Thanks for calling in. So a couple of other ideas, and you don't mind sharing the wealth or at least the information, right, Florence?
Absolutely not. There's a lot of work that needs to be done out there, and I've met Winona LaDuke one time and was very impressed with the work that she was doing, and I think it ties in very well with what we're doing, and I think we all need to do our part to turn things around on this planet for the environment and for our people. So I'm very happy to make sure that all the organizations doing good work out there get the support they need.
Yeah, Bob in Stevens Point is with us now. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I'm the owner of Gotta Have a Java coffee shop in Stevens Point here. We've always sold fair trade coffee.
Excellent.
And a lot of people buy it for gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to mention, because there's so much similarity with what your guest is saying, that I've been to Nicaragua, and I worked with some of the farmers who their lives really are changed. They're able to build community infrastructure. They're able to educate their kids. They are so appreciative of our efforts here to sell and create a market, an alternative market, where they don't have to sell their coffee on the commodity market. They're not subject to the global price fluctuations of coffee, and they can anticipate a price year after year that allows them to invest. And the other thing is, if you go with the right company, Equal Exchange, for example, out of Massachusetts, actually their mission is to do economic development. And they sell coffee, but coffee is really not it. It's how can they develop these communities, and they do it through developing co-ops that help the farmers to invest in their crops and at the same time build some community infrastructure. And so, you know, if you look at some of these companies, Equal Exchange being one of them, what they're really trying to do through marketing coffee and chocolate is they're trying to do economic development, and they're very successful at it.
Yeah, and Florence Reed, you want to talk about that?
Well, yes, I have the utmost admiration for anybody who is promoting fair trade coffee and other fair trade products. In the interest of full disclosure, Equal Exchange has donated to us, so I'm especially fond of them. I can also say that I have certainly seen firsthand the difference that it makes for farmers who grow coffee if they are able to sell to a fair trade market. Farmers who don't have that opportunity often will find that they actually lose money if they harvest their coffee, and it puts their families in a very precarious situation. But if they do have that fair trade market for coffee or chocolate or whatever they are growing, it guarantees them a decent income so that they can make a living off of their farms and provide for their families. And I think it's extremely important, and I would really encourage people. I think it's wonderful for people to donate to organizations such as ours, and I certainly encourage that as well. But also, I encourage people to think about what they are contributing to with their purchases, and that if they're purchasing mainstream coffee, they may be contributing to environmental harm and very poor living conditions for farmers, whereas if they choose to pay a little bit more for the fair trade coffee and the organic coffee, they're contributing to a better standard of living for people around the world and a healthier environment for all of us.
Yeah. Liz in Dodgeville. Hi, Liz. You're on the air.
Hi. Florence, wanted to say thanks for your very good work. And I had a couple ideas. I have a favorite organization called Kiva.org. That's K-I-V-A .org. And that's an organization where you can go online and you see people all around the world that are seeking loans to either increase or expand their small businesses. And you can make the loans in as little increment as $25. And a friend of mine who... he's paralyzed, and he has a very low income, but he manages to send a loan almost every month, and I was inspired by that. And that you can do today. If you need a last-minute gift, you can send an electronic gift certificate for that.
Yeah, and what kind of businesses are you helping with these?
You can pick anything. I think I've maybe made 16 loans so far, and the thing is you make the loans, and then the people pay the money back. So then you're able to re-lend it to someone. You're not earning any interest, of course, but you have the fun of then picking another business. So it might be someone who has a business making clothing or setting up a fruit stand or a taro chip business in Samoa or a shoemaker in Mexico. You know, there's all kinds of businesses all over the world, and you can kind of look through the businesses and pick one that speaks to your heart and make the loan online. And then it's paid back. And if you want, you could take the money back, or you can choose to re-lend it to another person.
Interesting. I hadn't heard of that. And did you say you had another idea?
Yeah, and then the other thing that I've been learning more about recently is something that Florence was talking about, too, about the trading of chocolate around the world. And I was sad to learn that a lot of our chocolate is being produced by child, pretty much slave labor. A lot of our chocolate comes from the Ivory Coast. And but there are several companies that produce fair trade chocolate. And if you pick a chocolate that has a fair trade label, you can be pretty assured that they're not using child labor to make the chocolate. And you figure, you know, chocolate is not a necessity. It's something that we love. I mean, it's a many billion-dollar trade, and the fair trade chocolate movement is growing. You can go to Greater Gifts in Madison, which is a nice store on North Street in Madison, and I just picked up a book called The Bittersweet World of Chocolate, which has chocolate recipes and a lot of information about the history of chocolate and what's going on now.
Thank you very much, Liz, for those ideas. Any comment, Florence?
Well, again, this is the same as with the coffee. I would wholeheartedly support the purchase of fair trade chocolate. The farmers that work with us in southern Belize, they're Mayan families who have been growing cacao for generations, and they're now able to make a decent living from it because they do have a fair trade contract with a company called Green and Blacks that makes fair trade organic chocolate that is available here in the U.S., and it makes a big difference for those families and for the environment, and I would encourage people to do that. And I'd also say that Kiva sounds like a wonderful organization. I met somebody from there at a conference about a year ago, and we're looking at whether our two organizations can start working together so that the families working with us can start some small businesses connected to their farms. So I was glad to hear them mentioned as well.
Thank you very much. Liz in Dodgeville. Hi, Liz. You're on the air. Oh, I just went to Liz. I'm sorry. That's the wrong caller. Stephen in Wind Lake. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. This is for people with little money. Donate blood. It's really easy. You lay on your back. They take some blood out of you. They give you fruit juice and Lorna Doones and Fig Newtons.
And what can be better than Lorna Doones? Florence, that's right. There are a number of blood drives going on right now. It's not exactly what you're doing, but a worthy alternative gift idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Florence Reed is founder and president of Sustainable Harvest International. You can find more information on the web, sustainableharvest.org. We also talked earlier in the hour with Chris Talbot from Heifer International, which you can find on the web at heifer.org. Both guests talking with us about alternative gift ideas that help the world. We thank them for being with us. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour. Thanks to Keisha Mabra for on-air production. Thank you for listening and for calling in. You'll want to stay tuned. There is much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. If you'd like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, call the radio store at 1-800-747-7444. Or you can listen to all of our talk shows archived on our website at wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.